A man sits in his cubicle, staring at spreadsheets, feeling like something essential has been surgically removed from his soul. He can't name what's missing, only that the ache grows stronger each year. His wife wonders why he's emotionally absent. His kids barely know him. He's become the nice guy everyone approves of, dutiful, responsible, safe. Yet inside, a voice whispers that this domesticated existence is killing him. What if that voice is right? What if the very thing making him acceptable to society is strangling his soul? Three core desires define masculine identity: a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. These aren't cultural artifacts, but divine design, hardwired into every man's heart by God himself. Watch any little boy for 5 minutes. Without instruction, he transforms sticks into swords and graham crackers into guns. Parents redirect him toward gentler play, yet he persists. This isn't pathology, it's design. Every man longs to know he has what it takes when challenges arise. The films men love, Braveheart, Gladiator, Saving Private Ryan, awaken something dormant within. This longing explains why men feel most alive in untamed places. Created outside Eden in the wilderness, men carry this primal connection in their DNA. Biblical heroes, Moses, Jacob, Elijah, even Jesus, encountered God not in comfortable sanctuaries, but in the wilderness, where men discover who they truly are. The desire to rescue beauty completes this trinity. Romeo has his Juliet, Arthur fights for Guinevere, Robin Hood rescues Marian. Nothing inspires a man like a beautiful woman. Men going to war carry photos of sweethearts. Combat pilots paint beauties on their aircraft. The battle alone is never enough. A man yearns for romance. Modern life has driven these desires underground, harnessing men to productivity's plow while their souls rebel. If men are created in God's image, what does that reveal about God? The common portrayal of Jesus as Mr. Rogers with a beard suggests following Christ means becoming passive, but this caricature misses the Lion of Judah entirely. To outcasts and lepers, Christ offered tender mercy. To self-righteous Pharisees, he was confrontational, deliberately picking fights, exposing hypocrisy publicly. The church has pared the claws of the lion, turning him into a household pet for pale curates. Scripture reveals God's warring nature, from Egyptian plagues to Samson's spirit-empowered strength. Jesus worked with wood, commanded loyalty from rough fishermen, and confronted evil head-on. When he returns, he'll lead angel armies with a sword, his robe dipped in blood, more William Wallace than gentle shepherd. God's creation reveals his love for wildness, shark-filled reefs, tiger-prowled jungles. He gave humans free will, the freedom to reject him daily. He writes stories where odds stack against him, sending a shepherd boy against Goliath, reducing Gideon's army to 300 men. God's wildness and fierceness are inseparable from his romantic heart. Music, wine, poetry, sunsets, these were his inventions. He created Hawaii, the Bahamas, Tuscany as breathtaking backdrops for love. Our true father embodies strong, courageous love, fierce, wild, and passionate. If man is the image of the Lion of Judah, why do we see so many caricatures instead? Every boy, in his journey to become a man, takes an arrow in the center of his heart, in the place of his strength. Because wounds are rarely discussed and even more rarely healed, every man carries one. The wound is nearly always given by his father. During a rock climbing trip, a father watched his son struggle with an overhang and offered crucial affirmation, "Way to go, Sam. You're a wild man." Later, the boy quietly asked, "Dad, did you really think I was a wild man up there?" Miss that moment and you'll miss a boy's heart forever. It's the question every boy and man longs to ask. Do I have what it takes? Until a man knows he's a man, he'll forever try proving he is one, while shrinking from anything that might reveal he's not. Masculinity is bestowed, A boy learns who he is and what he's got from a man or company of men, never from other boys or women. Wounds come as assault, verbal abuse, physical violence, or passive neglect, the emotionally absent father. Every wound delivers a message that feels absolutely true, shaping our personality and creating a false self. Our culture has turned against masculine essence. After school shootings, experts labeled all boys dangerous, prompting schools to feminize education. Boys receive ADD diagnoses 3 to 4 times more often, not because they're ill, but because they're wired differently. Schools reward sedate behavior while boys thrive through boisterous, mobile activities. Churches coach boys to be nice rather than strong. Marriage can domesticate men. Women are attracted to wildness, but then try taming it, breeding resentment and killing passion. We've caged men like dangerous lions, forgetting that a man's strength, though dangerous, makes him heroic. We're in the late stages of a war against the human heart. The enemy fears you because if you got your heart back, you'd be dangerous. Men need to know what they never heard from their fathers, who they are, and if they have what it takes. When fathers fail during adolescence, sexuality becomes the next window. A pretty girl makes him feel validated, but femininity can arouse masculinity. It can never bestow it. This is why pornography is so addictive, touching a desperate hunger for validation that only God can satisfy. God gives each man his true name, not the wounding labels from childhood, but the identity he was created to bear. Throughout Scripture, God calls men into unknown territory where they discover who they truly are. Most men deny their wounds or believe they deserved them, but wounds unacknowledged or embraced as identity cannot heal. From our woundedness, we construct a false self, finding a few gifts that work and living off them. Some become emotionless, others macho, still others perpetual nice guys. This false self becomes our plan for salvation. God must take it away, thwarting our plan through failed investments, lost jobs, or ended relationships. This moment feels like death, but it's the trailhead to freedom. God heals our wounds personally, never using the same method twice. Healing begins with surrender, then inviting Jesus into our wounded places. We must grieve our wounds, acknowledging that what happened truly mattered. Then we must let God love us, abiding in his love rather than just mentally acknowledging it. Finally, we must forgive our fathers, not excusing what happened, but releasing them from our judgment. Life isn't a problem to be solved. It's an adventure to be lived. God designed this dangerous world and called it good, rigging it to work only when we embrace risk and live by faith. A man won't find happiness until adventure infuses his work, love, and spiritual life. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Then do that, because the world needs people who have come alive. Where would we be if Abraham played it safe, if Moses avoided burning bushes, if Paul remained a comfortable Pharisee? Most men spend their lives eliminating risk, and if they succeed, they suffocate in self-protection. The spiritual life cannot be made suburban. It is always frontier, untamed, and wild. The only way to live this adventure is through ongoing, intimate relationship with God. The control we crave is illusion. Far better to surrender it for God's companionship, trading stale formulas for informal friendship. Jesus himself said, "I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends." The call remains, recover your wild heart. The battle is real, the adventure awaits, and beauty needs a warrior willing to fight. Your false self will resist. Your wounds will whisper you're not enough. But deep within, the Lion of Judah roars, calling you back to who you were always meant to be.